Cabbage. Dough. Cream. Skrilla?
Yeah!
The KABC $500 high-low game is back. Listen for the cue to call at 6, 9, noon, and 3 for your shot at 500 in Skrilla.
Or whatever you want to call it. It's a lot of moolah.
KABC.
Los Angeles.
Orange County.
A Cumulus station.
KABC News is live and local at 10 o'clock. I'm Jeff Whittle, and a memorial service was held at the Pomona Police Department last night for the officer who was killed in the line of duty on Friday.
Edna and her children are among those who showed up to support their community and fallen officer Greg Casillas.
The sign says, "Rest in peace, Officer Casillas. Thank you for your service, PPD," and there's a heart with a blue stripe in the middle.
She wants to see change in her city.
It is crime-ridden. And the amount of crime, the good people do not overshadow the bad people.
Officer Casillas was fatally shot and his partner injured after chasing a reckless driving suspect into an apartment. That suspect is now under arrest. In Pomona, James Rojas, KABC News.
A burglary suspect has died after being taken into custody last night by Santa Ana police. After being captured inside a local liquor store, that man started having problems breathing, so the officers performed CPR on him until paramedics arrived, but he was pronounced dead at a local hospital. No shots were fired, and there appears to be no evidence that officers used excessive force on the suspect, according to broadcast reports. President Trump appears to be backing away from his proposal to raise the age to buy a gun.
Even though the president raised the prospect of increasing the age for buying semi-automatic weapons to 21, the idea is not part of the administration's approach to dealing with school shootings. In a series of morning tweets, the president says there's not much support for raising the age. He says he's watching how court cases play out on the issue. The administration is also proposing that the federal government help states cover the cost of firearms training for teachers. The president tweeting, "If schools are mandated to be gun-free zones, violence and danger are given an open invitation to enter." Jerry Bodlander, Washington.
In other news, porn star Stormy Daniels is now offering to pay back the $130,000 she was given by President Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, so she would be able to go public with the details of her alleged affair with Donald Trump in 2006 and 2007. Also, President Trump's lawyers are reportedly considering going to court to try to block a 60 Minutes interview with Stormy Daniels from being broadcast, and correspondent MJ Lee has more details.
She wants to speak out about this alleged affair that she had with him dating back to 2006. The $130,000 that she says she received from Donald Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen, as well as this NDA that she says she signed as a part of this so-called hush agreement in order to keep her quiet about this alleged affair.
This check of the news, sponsored by Mike Diamond, the Smell Good Plumbers. Talk Radio, 790 KABC Sports. Lakers clobbered Cleveland 127-113 thanks to 36 points from Julius Randle. LeBron James led the Cavs with 24 points. Lonzo Ball, 5 points in the win. Clippers will visit Chicago tomorrow. L.A. Kings host Vancouver tonight at 7 p.m. right here on KABC. Dr. Drew Pinsky will sing the national anthem before face-off. Ducks host St. Louis tonight at 7. College Hoops, UCLA battles St. Bonaventure tomorrow night in one of the NCAA tournament's first four games. Cal State Fullerton will play Purdue on Friday morning. USC not invited to the big dance. And that's sports on the home of the L.A. Kings, 790 KABC. KABC News Time, 10:03 with dependable traffic when you need it the most. We do have a SIG alert leaving Baldwin Park. It's on the eastbound side of the 10 at Fraser Street. A crash with a spilled load of dirt and trash blocking the three right-hand lanes. Traffic is backed up to Santa Anita Avenue and the northbound 605 transition ramp to the East 10. Also closed because of this. South El Monte, westbound 60 at Paramount Boulevard. We have a stalled vehicle in one of the middle lanes there. In the Sepulveda Pass on the 405 southbound between Valley Vista and Mulholland, we have a conked out big rig. That's in the third lane from the left, adding to slowing from about Sherman Way. Brake lights finally break loose around Getty Center Drive, and you'll be on the gas as you head towards LAX. But in Torrance, South 405 at Crenshaw Boulevard, we have an accident there blocking one of the middle lanes with slowing from Hawthorne Boulevard. I'm Jeff Whittle, KABC Dependable Traffic. KABC SoCal weather, mostly cloudy today. Highs mid-60s to the mid-70s. Rain likely by tomorrow afternoon with a chance of showers every day this week. It's 59 at LAX, 60 in Santa Ana, 54 in Woodland Hills. Get news at the top of the hour, at the bottom, and when it breaks. I'm Jeff Whittle, Talk Radio 790 KABC News. In-N-Out Burger, where the only way to make burgers, fries, and shakes is with only the freshest, highest quality ingredients. In-N-Out, that's what a hamburger's all about. KABC News, sponsored by In-N-Out Burger.
The big Hollywood show of the year is here.
This is like a quality production.
Sorry, gang, we had a slight technical problem.
And we're in business.
It's Peter Tilden.
Acton!
Good morning, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden 10 begins right now. Brought to you, of course, by Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep. He'll beat anyone's advertised price, or your mattress is free. The phone number, use it, 800-222-5222, so we can communicate on whatever's on your mind and whatever I'm talking about if you want to participate. The first thing is, I'm annoyed with the daylight savings thing because they tell you how important sleep is and you get into circadian rhythms and you're happy and you're doing okay, and then they take an hour away. And they've done studies, and research says that you shouldn't change it. You shouldn't change it back and forth. It messes with us, and it can be dangerous. I heard Randy talking about car accidents and strokes and heart attacks spike in the days after the March time change. Yep, and people are sleep-deprived. So this can harm people in a lot of ways. The other thing they find out is people driving home in the dark don't stop at stores to buy stuff. So spending actually kind of goes down, but I guess they're not going to change it. I'm always a bear the day that they take it away. Yesterday I was all off, and I'm sure you are too. But if you like it, let me know why. I think Joe, producer Joe, you said you like it, right? Just because of change. You like change, all right? But I'm off. I'm just off, and I don't know if anybody else notices they're off at work. I would not get a surgery today with a surgeon who, you know, oh, new rhythms. Yeah, I don't think so. So a couple of things I wanted to talk about. Kind of two things that have something major in common, and I'll explain. So let's imagine for a minute that Peter Tilden killed his wife, my first wife, not the second wife, killed my wife, and I'm joking, don't come investigate me. And let's assume Peter Tilden is in great shape. He's in wonderful shape because he's an athletic build. He takes care of himself. And what he does, here's what I say to you as far as my defense. Well, I had a friend who nobody knows. They've never seen him before. His name is Charlie. Yeah, you don't know him, but his name, I met him. He's around. Nobody I know really knows him.
Charlie, kinda young, kinda now. Charlie, kinda freak.
Yeah, a friend, good guy.
Charlie.
So Charlie says, thank you. Charlie says to me, my wife is doing some weird stuff. So I go, let's go to the house, Charlie. And I say, but let's take gloves, a hat, and a giant knife just in case something's going on there. And he goes, okay. So we drive to the house, and I go in, and there's this other guy who I don't know with my wife. And he gets into this karate move. I grab the knife, and then I black out, and I don't remember there's nothing I remember. And when I come to, there's so much, I've never seen this much blood in my life. There is blood everywhere. And then I leave because I got a speaking engagement in Chicago that I got to get to. Because if I'm nothing, if not responsible, you book me for a speaking engagement. I'm going. So there's a pile of clothes, bloody. I remember I had to get rid of because there was blood. It was so bloody. And then all of a sudden, I'm being called by the police. What's that about? So if I gave you that explanation, I think I would go right to you'd take me right to the electric chair. That's not even an explanation. That was OJ's explanation on his thing, his show, the lost confession, like they really lost these tapes, that he made to the publisher, Judith Reagan, in 2006. By the way, after hearing that and watching that show, call me if you still believe the percentage out there who believes that OJ didn't do it. But it was a stunning, stunning revelations there. This Charlie guy exists, this karate stance before the murders, the fact that he doesn't remember anything. And the best thing about the whole revelation is that this is if I did it, a hypothetical, The only problem is the 6 minutes that he's describing the actual event of the murder, he's saying things like, I left the glove, and I should have picked it up, and then I went to, oops, I mean, I would have, I should have, I could have. He goes from real to hypothetical to back to real. It's unbelievable. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. He remembers dropping bloody clothes in a bundle. He said he didn't get the cuts on his hand from the murder. He was surprised at how fast people believed he was guilty with this kind of ironclad excuse. He wanted to go see Nicole's grave. That's why he was in the Bronco chase. He doesn't remember the funeral. And he said he stopped the chase because he was listening to Dan Rather. And Dan Rather was talking to him, talking about him as someone who abused their wife. And he said that offended him. He didn't like the way he was being represented. So that's why he called in. And he said he also knew what the verdict would be. I mean, amazing. Listen to a clip. And he was so mad at Nicole, even at the funeral, the guy can't get over it. Here he's talking about Dan Rather.
I'm in the back of the truck, and I can't believe what I'm seeing. Because every time we go by intersections, it was like, where did these people get the time to make these signs? Go OJ and stuff. And what was strange is I was being depicted as a fugitive on the radio, but from the side of the roads, it was more people cheering. I just remember listening to the radio, which I think was Dan Rather. It really saved my life.
Right.
Because when he said that OJ had a history, police were at their house all the time, 8 or 9 times, that was the first time that week that I kind of woke up. Hey, man, listen to what they're saying about me. I say, hey, see, this is BS what they're doing here. Get me to my house.
Yeah, all those police calls to the house. I didn't like that, how they portrayed me there. He is also the king. If you look in the dictionary next to out of context laughter, this guy, she asked if the kids were sleeping in the house at the time. I don't get where he's coming from with the laughter. But he is really a sociopath. The guy is absolutely nuts. I took a giant knife. Listen to this.
And this guy kind of got into a karate thing. And I said, well, you think you can kick my ass? And I remember I grabbed the knife. I do remember that portion, taking the knife from Charlie. And to be honest, after that, I don't remember.
I don't remember anything. I had a knife. People ended up dead. And my defense is, I don't remember anything. Oh, well, okay then. We didn't know that. Why don't you just get out of here? We don't want to be bothering you with all of this. It's stunning. It's stunning. The other thing is that Judith Regan softballed the entire interview, because remember what this interview was for. This was a promotional interview to sell the book that she sold, because she's a publisher. So she says, I didn't go hard on him because I wanted him to keep talking. I don't think you could have done anything to shut OJ up at this point. But it's 800-222-5222 if you saw it and it changed your mind. again, if you think he's innocent and still believe he's innocent after all this. The funniest thing about the night of the chase, I don't know if Dino didn't know this. I don't know if you know this at home. But, you know, there was a game on, obviously, and they put the game on in the bigger box and then the chase in the smaller box, and then it switched to the chase in the bigger box and the game in the smaller box. But that night, that very night, at the time of the chase, David Hasselhoff had decided to do a pay-per-view special to show America that he could not only act and was a young Olivier, but he could also sing. So David Hasselhoff had paid for a pay-per-view special, expecting to make a fortune with people tuning in. I think his mother may have tuned in briefly, but then tuned to the OJ chase. No one watched the Hasselhoff special because it was against something that got almost 100 million viewers at the time. 95.7 million viewers watched that. That's Super Bowl numbers that night. So if you didn't see it, but you taped it, it's worth seeing. And OJ has gotten, the interest just never fades. They had the OJ miniseries on. They had the documentary, which won an Oscar. So the interest just doesn't go away, because it was such a fascinating, insane time. And again, the fact that he describes it as, I'm standing with a knife and I blacked out, may have left my glove there. And it goes from hypothetical to not hypothetical, goes back and forth. I think there's one more clip.
The chapter six is called The Night in Question. Mm-hmm. And you write in the book, now picture this and keep in mind that this is
purely hypothetical.
Hypothetical. Yes. Why don't you tell me what might have happened on the night of June 12th, 1994? And let's just walk
through it.
Well, first of all, this is very difficult for me to do this. It was very difficult for me because it's hypothetical. I know and I accept the fact that people are going to feel whatever way they're going to feel. You know, they're going to...
what are they going to do? Say it.
Whatever.
Okay.
Whatever they want to feel.
All right.
In the book, the hypothetical is...
Charlie
came by and mentioned something about what was going on at her house. This guy, Charlie, shows up, the guy who I had recently become friends with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why you had been by Nicole's house.
Yeah, why?
He told me you wouldn't believe what's going on over there. And I remember thinking, well, whatever's going on over there has got to stop.
So I got to get a giant knife with this guy who I just befriended, but somehow knows what's going on over at her house. So that means Charlie knows her and knows Ron Goldman has been there, has alerted to OJ that there's some bad stuff happening, so take the giant knife. But don't forget, OJ, when stuff starts happening, please black out. Would you do that for me? So that's the story, the latest on the story that will not die, Joe OJ. And then a similar story, it doesn't involve death, but it involves BS. And that is that the California High Speed Rail Authority has put out a revised business plan. Now, we signed a bond for $32 billion for high-speed rail. Guess what the number is now? Anybody care to guess what the number is now? What do you think it is? 60-something? Mm-mm. 70-something? Mm-mm. 80-something? Mm-mm. They're guessing that it could be right now about $98 billion, as high as $98 billion, possibly $63 billion. So they're guessing at an average of $77 billion. This, why don't they just send John Lovitz out to do the news conference for high speed rail? Cause they have no, they're just making stuff up. I realized they have no idea how they're going to tunnel through mountains to get here with all of the fissures that are in there and the earthquake faults. So they are so far behind on building of this, on acquiring of land. They're now saying they are pushing it back another 4 years. So into the 2030s. And the costs are likely to go up to $98 billion. I realize now they have no idea. The numbers that they're shooting out there, you might as well say, it's 90, it's 120, it's 142. Just have Lovitz be the face of the High Speed Rail Authority. They hope to finish the full line by 2033, but good news. The 2027, you'll be able to ride, ready for this, from San Francisco to Gilroy, in luxury and style, supposedly. Dan Richard, the chairman of the High Speed Rail Authority, said, once the public sees the 200-mile-per-hour trains zipping across the landscape, he expects there to be a major shift in how the project is perceived. Well, Dan, they're not going to be zipping at 200 miles per hour because it's blended rail, and right now you have rail riding so close to other rail that they have to slow down. You know the accident that happened the other day with rail that was going too fast? This will not be going 200 miles per hour. We now have a 60-day public comment period. So I ask you to please call your congressional office and complain, because now is the time to do it. The federal government just kicked in only $3.5 billion for the project, so they don't know where the financing is going to come from. They don't know where the additional cost is going to come from. The state's cap and trade program's tapped out. So this is a pay-as-you-go thing. They're just doing it. It's kind of like a Hail Mary to build this thing. And I don't understand why legally they can't shut down something that was totally misrepresented in a bond for $32 billion, and it's now going to be closer to $100 billion if that number is even right. Cause I think they're just making up stuff as they go along. So they don't have the land. They don't have the technology. It's not going to be really high speed rail. But we do know that it's going to cost us close to $100 billion at this point, and we don't have any financing for it. And guess what? The private sector, which they thought was going to step up, oddly enough, they're not kicking in. Isn't that weird? Because I guess, what, not a good investment for them? So good luck. We're either going to keep funding this thing or you guys are going to complain and you're going to call your congressional office and say it's no mas and you're going to insist on an audit and you're going to insist on transparency, or we're just going to keep getting these revised estimates and these revised estimates on when it will be finished. I mean, I couldn't believe I read it on Friday. Pushed back 4 more years into the 2030s. And they haven't even talked about, this is the original stretch. When they get into the LA area and they got to go through, they got to go over, what's it called? The Pacheco Pass east of Gilroy, taking trains over to the Tehachapi Mountains. Wait until you see what the cost is going to be there. And I'd love to see the plans. I'd love to see how they plan on doing that, how real they are, or if these numbers were just pulled out of, what's his name's butt, Dan Richard's butt. So there you go. two things that are similar. Lots of misrepresentation, lots of BS, lots of made-up stuff. OJ making up the blacking out and the high-speed rail saying it'll be 2030 now and here's your price. Both fantasy land. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. High-speed rail. So we could, it just keeps costing us money. We keep writing checks. And this thing will never, ever be finished. And if it is, it will be so, so expensive. It won't be relevant, especially with autonomous cars and the other competition. Elon Musk, dude, is building his Hyper. He'll have the Hyperloop done by the time this is done. All right, 800-222-5222 is the phone number. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. I got tickets for Jackson Browne at the Greek Theater today. And also, the one and only, makes me laugh, Carrot Top at the Saban Theater March 23rd. So your choice of those tickets. When I tell you to call, 800-222-5222 is the phone number, and we will be back right after this.
790 KABC has dependable traffic when you need it the most. Sig Alert, Baldwin Park. It's on the eastbound 10 at Fraser Street. We had a big rig wreck with a spilled load of dirt and trash. It's still blocking the three right-hand lanes. Traffic is backed up to Peck Road because of that. And the northbound 605 connector ramp to the west, eastbound side of the 10 is also closed because of that crash. We've seen brake lights on that eastbound 60 Pomona Freeway from Hacienda Boulevard over towards Nogales Street or so. No accidents or stalls reported there just yet anyway. Northbound on the 405 in Long Beach right at the 710 interchange, we have an accident blocking the left lane of the ramp from the north 405 to the northbound 710. We're seeing brake lights from Long Beach Boulevard because of that. Usual slowing up ahead from about Century Boulevard up towards the 10 in the West LA area. And on the southbound 405 at Mulholland Drive, big rig has finally been moved out of the number 3 lane over to the right-hand shoulder, but it's very slow from Sherman Way. Traffic sponsored by In-N-Out Burger. There's fresh, then there's In-N-Out Burger Fresh. Come see your made-to-order burger being freshly prepared before your eyes and taste the In-N-Out difference. I'm Jeff Whittle, KABC, Dependable Traffic.
Well, I've been out walking. I don't do that much talking.
Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden 10 continues. Jackson Browne, I think the Greek. I got tickets for that. And Carrot Top at the Saban, I'll let you know when to call. So Dennis Rodman has offered to help the president. His spokesperson. How does he have a by the way, Dennis Rodman is always, I hear he's broke. He keeps getting arrested for DUIs. How does he have people? I don't have people. Does Dennis Rodman have people? Anyway, he can get rid of that, Steve, at some point. His spokesperson, Christopher Volo, again, his spokesperson says he believes talks with the regime will do great things for both nations. And also, apparently Kim had asked Rodman about Trump before he announced his candidacy for president. He had a lot of respect for the future president at the time. According to Rodman, he believes President Trump is the perfect leader to help us with the conflict, and we would both love to go back and help in any way possible. Yeah, you're going to see. Can you imagine that that's the delegation going over there? It's the president plus Tillerson plus Rodman. Rodman, of course, was in 2013. He was on Celebrity Apprentice. You know why he got thrown off as Celebrity Apprentice? Why he lost? He did an ad where he misspelled Melania's name in the advertisement. So he got thrown. It's always best to check. Rodman told Business Insider that in 2014, Trump asked to accompany him on a trip to North Korea. Trump in Twitter actually wrote back last week, if you didn't see, crazy Dennis Rodman is saying, I wanted to go to North Korea with him. Never discussed, no interest, last place on earth I want to go, according to the president at the time. But it looks like, well, we don't know what's happening with North Korea at this point. Apparently the negotiations are open, but there's a lot that could happen between now and May. The other piece of breaking news is that Stormy Daniels has made this offer to return $130,000 that she says she accepted from Michael Cohen. In exchange, Clifford would be allowed to speak openly and freely about her prior relationship with the president and attempts to silence her and use and publish and text messages, photos, videos relating to the president that she may have in her possession, all without fear of retribution or legal liability. Her lawyer, Michael Levante, said the American people should be permitted to judge for themselves who's shooting straight with them and who's misleading them. They are trying right now to stop this 60 Minutes interview, which I think is now scheduled for next week with Anderson Cooper. It's supposed to air, they said, in the near future, but I just did see this morning the date was next week. And they're preparing to file a legal injunction to prevent it from airing. And I wonder, they're not going to be able to stop it. But I wonder what's in there that's so damaging that they don't want it seen. She filmed the interview with Cooper shortly after she filed that lawsuit, stating that the non-disclosure agreement is in violation because he didn't sign it in exchange for the hush money. It wasn't valid because President Trump didn't sign the deal. And that suit came after Cohen obtained a temporary restraining order and arbitration preventing her from speaking about the payment and anything associated with it. So it may happen. Next Sunday may be the interview that the White House doesn't want you to see, but I don't know what other story. What else is she going to tell? What else does she have to offer? And why? Why do they not want us to see it? 800-222-5222. Peter Tillman 10 returns right after the news.
KABC News is live and local at 10:29. I'm Jeff Whittle, and the man who's suspected of killing a Pomona police officer and wounding another officer on Friday night was taken into custody after a standoff that lasted more than 15 hours at an apartment building in Pomona. 38-year-old Isaias De Jesus Valencia of Pomona was arrested Saturday on suspicion of murder of a police officer and attempted murder of a police officer. He's being held in lieu of $1 million. Bail. Authorities have identified the young man who was fatally stabbed, allegedly during a fight with a fellow employee at a Domino's Pizza in La Puente Saturday night. He's 20-year-old Daniel Sanchez of La Puente. A knife was recovered, and a suspect has been detained pending further investigation into that murder. Thousands of LA Unified School District workers, represented by the Service Employees International Union, will begin voting today on whether to authorize a strike vote in the midst of their contract talks.
Taking part in the strike authorization vote will be district cafeteria workers, custodians, bus drivers, special education assistants, and other workers represented by SEIU Local 99, which has accused the district of unfair labor practices and bad faith bargaining. Union officials say if a strike is authorized, a walkout could potentially occur during the current school year. The union is accusing the district of cutting hours of special ed assistants and understaffing janitorial services at schools. I'm Rob Marinko, KABC News.
And the pilot of a private helicopter that crashed into Manhattan's East River last night has told investigators what may have caused that accident that killed all five of his passengers. Correspondent Allison Kosick reports.
Richard Vance is the pilot and sole survivor of this helicopter crash, and he's telling investigators that he thinks that a passenger's bag may have hit the emergency fuel shutoff button, which could have led to the crash.
And this news report is brought to you by Heal.com, Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. Lakers embarrassed the Cavaliers 127-113 last night, and the Clippers will visit the Chicago Bulls tomorrow. LA Kings host the Canucks at 7 tonight, right here on KABC. Ducks will host the Blues tonight. College hoops, UCLA will face St. Bonaventure tomorrow. In one of the NCAA tournament's play-in games, Cal State Fullerton plays Purdue Friday morning. USC, though, left out of the big dance. And that is sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more Tilden at 10 next. KABC News Time, 1032. 790 KABC has dependable traffic when you need it the most. And we're seeing improving conditions on our Southland freeways at the stalled Big Rig. South 405 at Mulholland's been cleared. They're in the Sepulveda Pass, but you're still slow go from the 101 Ventura Freeway interchange down towards Sunset before you're fully on the gas. The northbound 405, we have an accident on the connector ramp to the northbound 710, left lane of that two-lane transition road, and we're just seeing some reduced speeds from about Long Beach Boulevard. Now, we still have a SIG alert eastbound on the 10 at Frazier as you leave Baldwin Park. It's a earlier crash with a Big Rig, a spilled load of dirt and trash, still blocking the three right-hand lanes with brake lights back from Peck Road, and the northbound 605 transition ramp to the east 10 also closed, and a lot of slowing eastbound side of the 60 Pomona Freeway from Hacienda Boulevard all the way over towards Fairway Drive. No accidents or stalls reported, though, at the moment. I'm Jeff Whittle, KABC Dependable Traffic. Here's your 790 KABC market check. Stocks are mixed here in mid-morning trading with the Dow now down 126 points. It was in positive territory after the start, but it's now off a half percent. S&P 500 up a fraction of 1 point, but the NASDAQ is positive by 45 points. KABC SoCal weather, mostly cloudy today, highs mid-60s to the mid-70s. Chance of rain tomorrow and right on through the rest of the week. It's 57 in Van Nuys, 61 in Huntington Beach, 63 in Downey. KABC weather, sponsored by Buffalo Wild Wings. Come to B-Dubs now for two cheeseburger or two chicken tender sliders with fries for just $5. This is how we do happy hour and late night. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Get news at the top of the hour, at the bottom, and when it breaks. I'm Jeff Whittle, Talk Radio 790 KABC News. Howard, Southern California's choice for appliances, TVs, and mattresses since 1946, with a 60-day price guarantee and that all-important next-day delivery. Visit howards.com for the showroom nearest you. Howard, 72 years of making your house a home. KABC News, sponsored by Howard's.
I got a dial tone.
If you'd like to make a call,
dial 800-222-5222, because the KABC phone lines are open.
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tillman 10 continues. Hope you're not sleepy. It's daylight savings time. You'll get back. I mean, it only takes a couple months till you get back into the rhythm of stuff. So I'm watching this Betsy DeVos interview. She's given a lot of interviews over the weekend. She's going to be the head of the School Safety Commission, which is pretty interesting. Remember, Betsy DeVos, what a background. During her 2017 confirmation hearing, remember, she couldn't answer basic questions. And I think Mike Pence had to be the deciding vote to get her into that position as education secretary. So she's in. I don't know why she wants the aggravation, by the way. Her father-in-law is the guy who founded Amway, created Amway. She's married to the son who was the chairman of Amway. I think the family's got like $4 billion. So I give her credit that she wants to do this. But she gave interviews about education. Now, she's a huge, understand, choice, school choice, and charter school advocate. That said, she was asked questions like, well, when students leave to go to charter schools and they take money with them out of the school district, how does the school district continue to function? The first thing she was asked, however, was about the president's rally in Pennsylvania, where he said that Chuck Todd is a sleepy-eyed SOB. So that kicked off the interview.
I couldn't help but thinking during this piece that aired right before you came on, you had the president using what we used to call a dirty word to describe one of my colleagues. And I wonder, as the education secretary who's in charge of what our kids learn, what do you think of that kind of language? Would you wash someone's mouth out with soap?
Well, I would probably use different language myself, and I think we all have an opportunity and a responsibility to be examples to our kids.
Would you include the president?
That would include the president as well.
So she's talking like a school teacher there, saying, you know what, he should change his language. So that she answered, that was the only question that she kind of answered definitively, because then she was talking about schools, her own schools. And Leslie Stahl was asking her about that, the fact that if kids leave school, the schools lose the money. You're claiming that they do better when kids leave the schools because they can choose where to go, but that's not necessarily the case. When you leave schools behind, they don't have enough money to function.
The traditional public schools, actually, the results get better as well.
Now, has that happened in Michigan? We're in Michigan. This is your home state.
Yes. Well, there's lots of great options and choices for students here.
Have the public schools in Michigan gotten better?
I don't know. Overall, I can't say overall that they have all gotten better.
The whole state is not doing well.
Well, there are certainly lots of pockets where the students are doing well.
But your argument that if
you realize what you did there, that's the BS on when you're doing your essay. Well, there are pockets where these students, which would those pockets be?
Take funds away. That the schools will get better is not working in Michigan, where you had a huge impact and influence over the direction of the school system here.
I hesitate to talk about all schools in general because schools are made up of individual students attending them.
The public schools here.
By the way, thank you for filling us up on that, that schools are made up of the individual students who are attending. She's buying time. She's running out the clock.
Right. Doing worse than they did.
Michigan schools need to do better. There is no doubt about it.
Have you seen the really bad schools? Maybe try to figure out what they're doing?
I have not intentionally visited schools that are underperforming.
Maybe you should.
Maybe I should.
They're
yes.
dangerous. That is BS at its best. If there's a class called BS 101, I'm intentionally not going to the schools that are underperforming because you don't want to know why. You're the education secretary. Your job is to make schools better. How about a fact-finding mission? How about Googling before you go into an interview with Leslie Stahl? How about sitting down and Googling stuff like your own school districts, which you put money into in your own backyard? How are they doing? I don't know. And then she's on the commission, of course, about arming teachers. Should they or should they not? And again, I don't care what her take is, but just have a take. Be engaged. This is your gig. This is what you do.
Arming teachers. This is certainly one of the most eye-grabbing aspects of the proposal. And let's do the not Washington thing. I'll ask short questions and you give short answers, okay? Because I think a lot of people want to understand this. What percentage of teachers at schools would need to be armed in your mind to be effective?
I don't have a percentage. It should be those who are capable and qualified and only in places where it's appropriate.
Would there be an armed teacher in every classroom?
I don't think that would be appropriate, and I don't think anybody would agree that that would be.
What about in every grade?
I don't think that would be either. The point is that schools should have this tool if they choose to use the tool. Community should have the tool. State should have the tool. But nobody should be mandated to do it.
Should the teachers wear their weapons outside so everybody can see it, including little kids, presumably? Or should they conceal them so that there's that element of surprise?
Look, this is an issue that is best decided by local communities and by states. It is not going to be appropriate in every location, but it is going to be appropriate in some places, like Texas has determined and like Polk County, Florida has determined.
Texas does it. Do you think teachers should be able to carry assault weapons since presumably they may face assault weapons? Do you have an opinion on that?
I don't think assault weapons in schools carried by any school personnel is the appropriate thing. But again, this is an issue that I think is best decided at the local level.
So he keeps going back to that. She's the education secretary, so she's going to have to. She's chairing the committee. So I don't mean to be knocking her just to knock her, but we're 14 months into this. This isn't her first day at work. This is not her third month at work. I would like to believe that everybody listening to my voice, if you were made education secretary and didn't have a big background in it, you would spend your entire day every day getting research, talking to teachers, talking to people about safety, talking about what should they do with guns in schools. Do they lock them up? And how, if a teacher can get to them, can a student get to them? Like you said, how many guns per grade? What kind of guns? What's the training going to be? What if nobody in that grade, no teacher there wants to accept it as training? We've got an elementary school. None of the teachers feel compelled to carry a gun. The interesting thing in the interview, they said to her, do you believe teachers should carry guns? She said, yes. And then she said, but I can't imagine my elementary school teacher carrying a gun. So, okay, but give us some guidance. 14 months in, you should have maybe read a term paper on this. Asked a couple people who are experts questions. See what other countries are doing. Know what schools in your own backyard are doing. Give a little bit of guidance. She is the chair of the committee. So I don't know where this is going, but if she's the chair of the committee, there's some questions I'd like to ask concerning how the committee is going to run and how they're going to come up on actionable stuff to protect our kids, right? 800-222-5222. Am I wrong? Am I beating up on her unnecessarily? If so, please tell me. But she is the education secretary. She should be educated, right? Shouldn't she be? 800-222-5222.
790 KABC has dependable traffic when you need it the most. And now we have double trouble for that eastbound 10 San Bernardino Freeway on the east 10 at Peck Road in the El Monte area. We have a new accident blocking the right-hand lane. And then ahead of that, on the eastbound 10 at Fraser Street, we're still dealing with a spilled load of dirt and trash from an earlier crash that has the three right lanes blocked. So combined, your slow go as you approach Peck Road on the eastbound 60, westbound, actually eastbound 10 San Bernardino Freeway, the westbound 10. That is pretty much full speed, but that eastbound 60 is also slow go through Hacienda Heights and the Roland Heights with brake lights from Hacienda Boulevard all the way over towards Fairway Drive, but no accidents or stalls reported. Southbound on the 101 Hollywood Freeway, seeing the usual delays from about Western Avenue down towards the 110 interchange, and the westbound 10 Santa Monica Freeway, that's slow go from about Vermont Avenue out towards Robertson. I'm Jeff Whittle, KABC Dependable Traffic.
We don't need no education. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tonatin continues. Thank you, Stephen. Obviously, a shout-out to Dusty DeVos by Pink Floyd. It looks like, and I saw the breaking news, that the House Intel Committee is going to end the interviews regarding the Russian intervention by in the election. So they've been pushing for that for a while, that the House Committee is just about done. So it looks like they're going to wrap it up. That doesn't mean Mueller's investigation is going to wrap up. And somebody who did testify in front of the grand jury on Sunday was Mr. Nunberg. Remember Sam Nunberg? It was Nunberg TV last Monday. A week ago Monday, it was all day. Give us 22 minutes, we'll give you Sam Nunberg. He was everywhere, running around. Well, he was on with Jake Tapper today and talked about Corey Lewandowski and said that Lewandowski and Hicks definitely were a thing, that there was an affair going on there. And he says, I despise Corey. Why would I communicate with him now? And Hope Hicks, who was having an affair with Corey, he mentioned that. He mentions that the president did not treat him well, treated me like crap. And then he lamented about his rising legal fees associated with the Russian investigation. Remember, everybody in the White House, interns, everybody there, is paying huge bills to lawyers. I asked a friend of mine the other day, what do you think one of the top Washington attorneys gets for this kind of work? I thought it was like $500 an hour. It's $1,000 to $1,500 an hour. And once they have their other guys doing the work for you, not the top guys, it's only $400 or $500 an hour. You can go bankrupt rather quick. He said, I'm spending a lot of money on legal fees. And he said, the president made a big mistake by giving that interview to Lester Holt the day after he fired James Comey. And then he decided to have Russians in the Oval Office. He keeps bringing that up in interviews. But he did say he had no regrets. His quote was, Monday was fun. Monday was Nunday. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. So he doesn't mind all the meltdowns on TV that we saw, and he doesn't mind now testifying. He actually said, by the way, that one of the shows helped, giving him legal advice, a legal expert who said that he looked like he was trying to hide something by refusing to go before the grand jury. He needed somebody to tell him that. He's a lawyer. He really needed someone to say the optics of you refusing to testify makes it look bad. Where did this guy come from, Mr. Nunberg? All right, talk radio, 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tillman 10 continues. Coming up, we'll talk about how important or unimportant is the Pennsylvania special election. Kind of important, should know about that. What the president said at the rally the other day for the candidate in Pennsylvania, who he didn't mention a whole lot. And a lot of the issues, infrastructure, etc., the tariffs, how that affects you. But you know what? I don't give you guys in this hour gifts enough, so I figured let's do it right now. Call, if you're the sixth caller now, 800-222-5222. You get tickets to either see Jackson Brown at the Greek Theater on August the 4th or Carrot Top at the Saban Theater March 23rd. Your choice, 800-222-5222. Give a call now. I always reward the people in the 11 o'clock hour. Why not reward you? You're just as important. You're just as pretty. You're just as sweet. I also want to talk a little bit about Ryan Seacrest next hour, too. He's back with American Idol. I don't know if anybody cares. There's so many singing competitions. But he was completely exonerated by an independent investigation at E!, who said he didn't do anything wrong. There was one accusation, and they're still treating him like he did something wrong. They said on American Idol, he's not that present. They've even come out a more of a minor role. Why? Why? If he was completely exonerated. So we'll talk about that, too. 800-222-5222. Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after the news.